And a good Monday. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Glad to have you with us this morning. Coming up later in the program, we're going to get an update from Manhattan Parks and Rec. We'll have Wyatt Thompson and Dave Baker joining us from the Douglas Center and getting some updates on park projects. But our first half hour of the program will be featuring Dr. Stephen Higgs. He's the director out at the Biosecurity Research Institute at Kansas State University, and he joins us via Zoom. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to talk to you again, Brandon.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure when we get an opportunity to speak with you. I know there's a lot of excitement going on out there at the Institute, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But I was intrigued when we were kind of exchanging emails here the other day, trying to get you on the show, that you yourself have been bitten by the coronavirus this year, haven't you?
Yes, that's right. I'm one of the statistics here in Manhattan, Brandon. August 12th in the evening. I think that was the date that sticks in my mind. You know what? I'd had a little bit of a cough and then just a slight sniffle. And I thought in the evening, maybe I'm developing a cold. But these are not the sort of times where you just dismiss that as a cold. So I spoke to the hotline. I obviously didn't go into work. I spoke to the hotline and said, I'd like some advice. These are my symptoms. And they said, you should absolutely be tested and stay at home until you get the result. So, I went, and got tested in a parking lot and, had the very long, Q-tip type thing. I don't think that's appetizing. Pushed up my nose into the back of my throat, which made my eyes water more than they'd done for a while. And a couple of days later, the results came back positive. By which time, the symptoms had basically gone. The symptoms for me were basically insignificant. I'm 62 years old, so now your listeners know how old I am. The symptoms did not progress beyond that little bit of a sniffle and the cough. Obviously there's no treatment. I drank more orange juice than normal and took some, vitamin C and, that was it. I was a little bit tired the first day and then, Raleigh County Health Department contacted me very quickly and, contacted me every day to see how my symptoms were doing. They did contact tracing. I have absolutely no idea where I picked up the virus from. You know, the only thing I knew was that it wasn't from us doing the research, it was the BRI. I mean, the protocols and the procedures and the containment, everything we do, that was the one exclusionary thing I was absolutely certain about, that it wasn't a work-related infection. I was at home with a 19-year-old son for 2 weeks solid. I don't think I went beyond the mailbox for 14 days. He never tested positive, so I'm sure I was shedding the virus, but symptoms were, like I say, insignificant. I was feeling completely normal and just working from home and didn't infect my son, even though we were at home for 14 solid days.
Wow. You know, I know it presents on people differently, and, sometimes it's mild, sometimes it can be very severe. It's got to be kind of frustrating to test positive and feel pretty well. I mean, I guess it could be worse, but you know, feeling like you're okay, but you still have to quarantine the 14 days.
Yeah, that's right. I'm still having to wear a mask in public. Well, just because of the mandates, I asked my physician, couldn't I get a T-shirt that says, "I've had it, I've recovered, I'm full of antibodies probably, and not a danger to society." But didn't get that go ahead.
That's too bad. Yeah, well, that presents another point here. So once you've had it, the likelihood that you're going to get it again is probably pretty slim.
Yeah, so, you know, so if you look at the numbers, there's been, what, 35 million people in the world infected, 7.5 million in the States. There's been a million deaths worldwide, and, you know, 210,000 here in the U.S. Really, there's only been a couple of reports of people being reinfected. So in the context, I'm feeling pretty good. I think the risk of reinfection is totally insignificant. So I'm not concerned personally. And then like you say, the symptoms do vary a lot. And, you know, like I mentioned a minute ago, we've had about 210,000 deaths in the US, but, you know, one of the CDC reports has said that only 6% of people that have died of coronavirus have actually been completely attributed to coronavirus. That 94% of the people that have died have had other pre-existing or other conditions. So, you know, it calls you to wonder just how deadly it really is on its own. And the numbers are, if you adjust it for solely COVID specific deaths, it would be a much smaller number than you read.
It's interesting that you say that, because we don't know a lot about the virus. Obviously, we're just learning about it here in 6-7 months into this pandemic here, at least in America. But if you test positive, the reasoning for quarantining is because it can spread so quickly. And because of that, that seems to be the reason, because it presents on so many people differently, that's the important reason why you have to quarantine and not just go about your daily business.
Yeah. You know, in reality, we should know almost everything about this virus by now. I mean, with so many people infected, there must be so much data out there. There shouldn't be many questions that haven't been answered. I mean, we've got the global scientific workforce on this. You know, one of the odd things about this virus, and one of the reasons for the quarantine really, is that unlike some related viruses, this SARS-CoV-2 seems to enable shedding before you got symptoms. So, you know, so maybe for me, I may have been shedding the virus for a day or so before I actually developed symptoms. And that is difficult, makes control and spread a little bit more difficult to implement. You know, the related virus SARS one, if you like, that caused 8,000 deaths. You know, one of the ways that was controlled was the people were only starting to spread the virus after they had developed symptoms. So then you can, you know, you target the known potential spreaders. This SARS-CoV-2 has that twist in its repertoire of symptoms that are spreading the virus.
And we're speaking with Dr. Stephen Higgs from the Biosecurity Research Institute. You know, we've seen so many people nationally test positive, including the President of the United States, who's currently in quarantine. And, you know, it just goes to show you that anybody can get this virus here. But how close do you think we are getting to a potential vaccine? I've heard so many differing reports on this.
The truth is, Brandon, I don't know any more than you do. Sadly, I don't, you know, I'm certainly confident in what we hear on the news and read, that there's a, you know, a huge amount of effort to develop a vaccine. There are some really good front running or potentially good front running candidates out there from different countries, from the US, from the UK, for example, multinational companies developing this. So there, I'm confident there will be a vaccine, but it's not tomorrow. You hear, you know, soon, but that is also open to interpretation. I would say, you know, early next year, I assume. But safety and effectiveness of it producing no untoward effects or untoward affecting a very small number of people and being effective at protecting the people from infection is a critical thing. And you can't rush those sorts of things.
Are there any studies in particular you're most curious about?
There's a couple of vaccines which are front running. There's one that sounds like it's a two shot vaccine. That always makes it a little bit more difficult. You know, a single shot is obviously the way to go with 100% protection. That's the ideal. Mm. But there are some vaccines like that, like the yellow fever vaccine. That's an absolutely deadly disease to a relatively large number of people who get infected, but there's an incredibly effective vaccine for that since the 1930s. It's live, it's attenuated, basically just a vaccine, a virus that doesn't cause illness, but replicates, multiplies in the body and induces at least 10 years of protective immunity. I don't know how many shots I've had of that one. And, there's been over like 400 million doses of that given since the 30s. And really just a couple of dozen contraindication serious side effects, and a very, very small number compared to the number of people that have had that vaccine. And we've got to hope that the COVID vaccine, whatever it is when it comes, has that sort of very, very low risk and very good protective ability. Sure. I've already had my flu shot this year, so I always get that and encourage other people to do it, even if it isn't highly effective. My personal opinion is I'd rather have 30% protection than no protection at all, if you like. I don't know what the numbers are for this year's vaccine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I got to take a quick break, Dr. Higgs. We'll take a break and come back with more on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, after this.